E, general discussion, and I understand we have two items, at least two items on this part. Tammy, do you want to share with us the order of those or what the plan is?
We could do the Puget Sound Chinook Harvest Management Plan update and then a budget discussion after that.
Okay, everyone fine with that? Okay, hearing no opposition, go ahead, please.
Good morning. My name is Aaron DeFoe. I work in the fish program. I'm going to give you a quick update. I will read the first page of, on the handout for the record, and then if anyone has clarifying that they want me to
Excuse
lab.
Me, this is Bob. Aaron, could you get a little closer to the phone? I'm having a little hard trouble hearing you.
Can you hear me better now?
Much better.
Better.
Is that better, Bob?
Yeah, thank you.
So I'll reiterate, I'm going to read the first page of the handout that you guys have, and then if there's any clarifying questions or any points you want me to elaborate on, please feel free to do. So the co-managers have been working on the Puget Sound Chinook Harvest Management Plan resubmission to NOAA over the past several months since North of Falcon ended in May, or at the end of April. Work is primarily centered around addressing NOAA's comments on the December 2017 submission and resolving issues related to differences in various fishery models and exploitation rate estimates used to determine appropriate conservation objectives for Puget Sound Chinook. Many of NOAA's comments on the 2017 submission centered around the need to strengthen the explanations for how the plan meets the requirements of the Salmon 4D rule for fishery management plan, primarily related to showing how the plan meets the concepts of NOAA's viable salmon populations document. The state and tribal co-managers have been working on revisions to address those comments, both in the body of the plan and in the watershed-specific appendices. More difficult to address have been some of the issues related to exploitation rate estimates and conservation objectives. A technical work group composed of NOAA, DFW staff, and tribal scientists was convened this summer to work on resolving issues caused by differences in fishery models, specifically the FRAM model versus Chinook Technical Committee model used to estimate exploitation rates on Puget Sound stocks, and resulting differences in calculations of rebuilding exploitation rates for those populations. That work has proceeded slower than we would have liked, and its completion is critical to our ability to put forward conservation objectives for several of the Puget Sound populations. So we had, in the past, we had what we thought was a goalpost, and that goalpost may potentially change. So we need that to be finalized before we have some of those more critical discussions on those specific stocks that are impacted most greatly by that. So the co-manager sent NOAA a letter on the 3rd of August summarizing our position on the issue and encouraging continued collaboration and to get it resolved as quickly as possible. And as they are resolved, we will continue to work on revising the plan and specifically on those management unit profiles as quickly as we can. I'd be happy to elaborate or take any questions if folks have any.
Mr. Vice Chair, this is Bob.
Yeah, Commissioner Keogh, please.
Aaron, has Judge Peckman given the parties a deadline to finish this work and report back to her?
The answer I'm going to give you is a little bit gray, I guess. Yes and no. We had a date identified with the court. I believe the date was the 24th. The judge indicated that she wouldn't essentially kick us out, more or less, but that she would make herself available if we need it. With that said, she wasn't thrilled about wanting to see us another couple times. So she's still available, essentially, if that's helpful. But we don't have a finite deadline with the judge that she would say, if you don't finish by this point, don't come see me. That was her position going into the last meeting, but kind of brought her around to being open to more conversations.
So when she says she's available, does that mean that she's available to help resolve any disputes between the parties?
Correct. That's at least, yes. And we...
go ahead, I'm sorry.
No worries. Leading up to the last submission, it was pretty truncated on timeline, and we did have a meeting with a mediation session with a judge, I think less than a week prior to submission, which was really helpful. We're hoping we don't need to make use of her her services again, but we did carve out basically a placeholder just in case.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
Aaron, this is Larry Carpenter. The slowness of process that you mentioned, is that attributable to technical work or policy work, or can you speak to that?
I definitely can. I would say it's all on the technical side. So we've gone back and forth with Noah, and I think we're making good. We're making progress. It's just slow progress, and unfortunately, it's a really significant issue that if we don't resolve it, we can't really carry forward a lot of those policy discussions until it's resolved. Our staff are doing their best to make as much progress and as quickly as we can. There's several technical documents that have been exchanged between co-manager staff and NOAA to try to make progress on that, and I think we're getting there. Obviously, the timeline for us to finish was originally August 31. I think it's unlikely we will meet that, but we are hoping for submission in kind of the first week or two of September. I'm unclear whether, I don't believe that causes any issues for NOAA. They are fully aware and engaged with us on that technical work. And so it's a very collaborative project, but it's just taken longer than we would have hoped. So.
Thank you, Aaron. Any other questions of Aaron?
This is Commissioner Thorburn. I'd just like to make a statement. As I read the letter, which was highly technical, I just want to go on record saying that I appreciate, as I understand the letter, that the co-managers are really advocating for our constituents and looking out for our interests in this entire process. So I think it's important to note that, and thank staff.
Any other comments? Okay, hearing none, I think now we're going to move probably to Nate Pamplin's laptop, I would say.
Good morning, Commissioners. Nate Pamplin, Policy Director with the Department. Appreciate being able to visit with you all this morning. A few items to just update you on since your meeting on Friday, where you adopted the operating budget proposals. We updated those numbers of moving the Natchez hatchery from the reductions that we were planning to take this fiscal year and move those to the performance level at risk and buyback list. So the total operating budget request now is for $65.7 million. $6.7 million of that is what's called the maintenance level budget request, and $59 million is called performance level. And of that, approximately half is the at-risk and buyback, and the other half is for new strategic investments. On Wednesday, the Commission received a letter from a number of members of our Budget and Policy Advisory Group. They were acting on their own behalf as individuals that have come together, and the letter indicated a number of items. First, they really support the department's mission and the urgency of the department's having increased funding to meet the conservation challenges of today. They endorsed the findings in the matrix report, that's the performance assessment that was called for in the proviso, and they endorsed the findings of the long-term funding plan, and they endorsed the overall budget packages that you approved on Friday. However, the letter indicated a significant concern, and that had to do with the ratio of the funding of general fund state to recreational license fees. They were very concerned that at a 5% across the board fee increase that was approved last Friday puts the broader package at risk and would be viewed unfavorably. In addition to that letter, I wanted to make you aware that a number of us had met with Governor's Office policy and budget staff, and that meeting occurred on Tuesday. They also had shared some concerns, and this was a meeting I was just briefing them about your all's decisions from Friday, and they just wanted to, they shared with us a number of concerns that I wanted to relay to you. First, similar to what some of the individual BPAG members indicated, they were concerned that the lower fee bill puts the entire package at risk. They were concerned that the commission and the governor had approved a fee bill that would have generated $23 million 2 years ago. And so why such a significant drop as far as the strategy? We talked through about, hey, that seemed too much. It put almost all of the funding shortfall on the backs of anglers and hunters. They also noted that a 5% across-the-board fee bill really presents little to no negotiating room from the legislature. And then they acknowledged that, and this is what I started the presentation with to you on Thursday, but just the overall context for the state budget, how there's significant demands for mental health and education and pent-up demands for other state agencies, so that there's going to be a lot of competition for general fund. And so what would be the strategy to make our general fund request most successful? And then lastly, we had talked about the concerns of the stakeholders that have come together within our budget and policy advisory group, that how critical it will be to, as this moves forward in the session, to have their support and the fact that they were kind of rallying around the budget's mission, the findings in the various proviso products, and the overall package. And so just wanted to make sure you were aware of both of those items, Mr. Vice Chair.
Thank you, Nate. I have a question, and I'm sure other commissioners do. My question is not so much about content as it is about timing. We did put forward an ask of Ron Warren and his staff to put together some budgetary sideboards as it relates to some additional hatchery production for Chinook salmon, reed, the orca whale issue. And I guess I'm wondering about this issue as it relates to the fee increase and the issue as of hatchery production that we're supposed to get the feedback. I assume we're probably going to get that on the 7th. Tammy, do we have a conference call on the 7th of September? I haven't had a chance to look.
We do. I think there may be a proposal, Larry. Hopefully we can come to an agreement on this call to have a special call the week of the 27th.
Okay, I guess where I'm going with my question, and I'll be brief, Nate, is our timing such that we could, do we need to do something today, or could we wait until we have that follow-up budgetary discussion with Ron and staff, so we know how all that comes together in some type of a package?
Yeah, thanks, Mr. Vice Chair. So, yes, fish program staff are putting pen to paper here on the request for the increased hatchery production. They've had some meetings this week and looking to bring that forward to you on September 7th. I think that's if the commission decides to do that, we can include that as a deck pack, decision package, and get that submitted. Our deadlines to turn everything into the governor's office is like September 12th, I believe. So in all of the other performance level requests and the agency request legislation, yes, if the commission revisited that or had further discussion at a call on the last week of August, that would still give us 2 weeks to modify our decision packages to reflect the different color of money and to change the bill. But it is, I guess I just want to put it out there from a staff perspective, there's a lot of work that goes to take your decision from last Friday to move it forward for everything that needs to be submitted in mid-September. So the further delay, the harder, I mean, we'll do it, but it does become more challenging to get everything tidied up and submitted.
Thank you for that, Nate.
Commissioner Thorburn.
Commissioner Thorburn, please.
I was quite taken by the letter from the members of the BPEG. I actually think that I began to have some buyer's remorse even before I saw the letter. As I started thinking about experiences I've had with the legislature seeking funding and just the proportion that we were going forward with, I just began to think our general fund ask is just a huge lift, and I have to agree that and we're also hearing from the governor's office that we're setting ourselves and the department up for perhaps a complete failure, which with all of the effort and thought and stakeholder input that's gone into this would be catastrophic. I really urge us to reconsider the fee bill and the proportion of the revenue request that we put in as general fund versus some sort of fees. I also would like to put forward some ideas to think about. We can't make any decisions today because this is not an agenda item, but I do think it would be good for us perhaps to toss around some ideas and request that these be brought forward as a possible decision in the near future. In respect to staff and the work that they need to put into it, I think it would be good to make the decision as soon as possible so that they can put forward a good package when it's due to the governor. We focused on fee increases and kind of dissed the surcharge idea. It was noted that surcharge doesn't go over very well with the legislature, nor probably with our constituents, although I've talked to individual BPAC members who are very supportive of that notion. And it maybe shouldn't be looked at as a surcharge. One idea, and I can't take credit for this, but that is, I think, outstanding, is the notion of any licensed purchaser has to first purchase something like a conservation and habitat certificate. And then you can buy your license. But this conservation and habitat certificate could also be available voluntarily, and we could promote it big time, to non-consumptive users, to non-traditional users, as a way that they could support wildlife conservation in Washington State. I know many of my birder colleagues would be very interested in having an opportunity to contribute to wildlife conservation with something like a conservation and habitat certificate. That's one approach that I think, whether it's $10 or whether it's $5 and we have some fee increase as well. But I think it's something that we should keep on the table if we go forward and reconsider this, which I really think we should.
Mr. Vice Chair, this is Nate.
Yeah, Nate Pamplin, please.
Thanks. Two items, I guess I'd want to point out, and Commissioner Thorburn, thanks for the overview there. The one aspect I would just want to clarify is that this meeting today was filed with the code revisor and therefore is a regular meeting. So if the commission were to reconsider a budget decision, it would not require a special meeting. That is something that you could do today if folks were comfortable with it. Certainly understand that there may be more discussion and some further research. The other item I just wanted to bring to your attention is within your packet for this topic was an updated table with different percentage across the board fee increases, as well as the surcharge that we had presented on Thursday. The row with the fee bill, the other components, that $200,000 is just the estimated revenue from the loophole change on the admin reporting penalty issue that we had talked about. And so that row had dropped pretty significantly because the commission on Friday directed us not to include some of the other proposed concepts. So anyway, just wanted to make sure you saw the table there with the Columbia River Salmon Steelhead endorsement in the recordment bill and what the different dollar amounts we anticipate would yield. So,
Larry, this is Brad.
Yeah, Chair Smith.
Thank you. I wasn't at the meeting, so I missed all the discussion, but I think there's a salient point that the governor's office raised about not leaving that where the percent rate stands now, it doesn't leave us any negotiating room, and that does strike home. And also, a second point, at 5%, in my recollection, that really just accounts for inflation over the last couple of years. So increase, yes, but it's an inflationary increase. It's not a real increase. But those are my two initial observations.
Oh, that's good. There's a lot of discussion about it, Brad. And, there's some concern that the perception is reality by some folks. And the public, our customer base, is starting to get to a point, some disgruntled folks, that they're paying more and getting a less. And in there was the discussion about where's the cliff? How far do we raise the rates before it becomes cash negative? You raise it 15% and you lose 12% of your customer base hypothetically, and then you take out of that the revenue loss from excise tax across sales tax across the state as well. And secondly, Nate, help me. I keep getting confused between Pittman Roberts and Dingell Johnson. Which one's the fishing gear part?
That would be DJ, sir.
DJ, okay. Well, in either case, if we lose fishermen, it's one revenue stream, and if we lose hunters, it's another revenue stream. So we raise it 15%, and we lose 10 or 12% of our customer base plus those funding sources and sales tax revenue. It might be a negative scenario. I think that's kind of what some of us were concerned about. But I'll let others speak. I have one idea that I'll share with all of you here in just a little bit. Any other comments?
Yeah, Mr. Vice Chair, this is Bob.
Mr. Teo.
Thank you. I echo Commissioner Thorburn's comments about revisiting our decision to only include, as part of our budget package proposal, 5% in fee increases. The letter from the BPAG was very powerful to me, and I know myself, and I think others around the table were concerned that that we would not get support from key stakeholders if we decided to include something higher than 5%. Those fears have been put aside for me. I know we don't have every BPAG member signing on. Maybe everybody will come along eventually, maybe not. But I do think that I would be in favor of increasing that number to 15%. I know the BPAG entrusted the commission with coming up with the right recipe, which will be a challenge for us, and I appreciate Commissioner Thorburn's ideas. The other point that I wanted to mention, too, is after, you know, kind of thinking about this some more after the meeting, and I think Commissioner Thorburn touched on this, you know, we need to listen to the governor's office. You know, the governor's office is telling us that, you know, signaling to us that, there are going to be others competing for more general fund dollars, and that we need to be realistic. We need to listen to that. And I'm afraid that if we go in, ask high, and with a very high package, the governor's office might say, well, thank you very much. We're going to do the prioritizing for you. In that sense, maybe losing some of the control and losing some of the effort that has already been put in. So, and I say this because I do feel that our ask for hatchery increase of $1.5 million was maybe on the modest side. And forgive me for kind of going all over, but the more I think about this too, I think we can, we should have more of an active role, and I think along the lines where Commissioner McIsaac was going, in not waiting, and this is with respect to hatchery increases for the orca prey issue, and that is not just kind of waiting for the task force to come up with ideas. Seems to me that this agency has the knowledge, expertise to offer suggestions and not wait necessarily for the other group to come up with its recommendations. So as I understand it, it would be kind of a separate ask, which I think we should develop more on our own. And I think Commissioner McIsaac had some good ideas for a starting point. As far as, and I'm almost done, as far as a decision today, my preference would be to schedule another special conference call at the end of August where we can kind of put everything together, pass one motion instead of piecemeal. And provided that's doable from a staff perspective, that would be my suggested approach rather than take action today. And so I guess my ask would be, you know, of that $15 million, maybe to have staff give us some kind of ideas about combinations along the lines of what Commissioner Thorburn started to do as one option. So that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Kehoe. Any other comments?
This is Commissioner Brady.
I had two of you. I got Commissioner Holzmiller, and I don't know who the second one was, but stand by, please, Commissioner Holzmiller.
Yeah, I would spoke to this the other day at the commission meeting, but I would like to say I was a popular guy this week, but in the tone of the conversations weren't all that popular. I received phone calls from two senators and two representatives, two of them, one each were in leadership in the House and one in the Senate, and talked through any of these fee bills that we're talking about and funding until some fires get put out. And there again, Kelly, I think we got the right guy on the job to do it. But we have some wolf issues that are very big right at the moment. We have the elk deals. We have the pinniped things. Up and until the time that some of this stuff gets addressed, I think it's going to be a really heavy lift to go there and ask them for a time, to be quite honest with you. There again, I'm talking with conservative Republicans from the east side, so they're going to be a little skewed. They're not representative of the whole legislature, but I will assure you, until some of these fires start getting put out, anything that we go there with an ask is going to be a real heavy lift.
Thank you, Commissioner Holzbrother. Who is the next commissioner standing by?
This is Commissioner Graybill.
Commissioner Graybill, thank you.
I tend to agree with the comments from Commissioner Kehoe and Commissioner Thornburn. I feel like I reacted to the very heavy pushback we got on the fee bills that we've presented in the past. But thinking back, those were represented to the public as a 70% increase. I think a 15% increase, if it's described accurately, could work. I understand we're asking our stakeholders to pay more for less. But if we clearly describe where those monies are going to be distributed, then I think we have a good chance of success with that ask. I've mentioned that there's still a lot of our license holders believe that their license fees go to the general fund. And I think we need to accurately communicate the distribution of those funds, and it'll make it easier for them to accept that. The other concern and question I have is the proposal that Commissioner McIsaac put forward on increased hatchery production. And I'm not sure how that's going to be presented, if it's folded into our current ask to the legislature. Is it a sidebar? I'm a little concerned if we add all the expense of that increased hatchery production into the current budget ask, it will raise it by the considerable amounts of dollars, millions and millions, that may threaten the whole package too. That's just kind of a sidebar concern of mine on how we're going to proceed with that.
Thank you, Commissioner Graybill. Other discussion? Yes.
Chair, this is Holzmiller.
Yes.
I think, I don't want to put words into Don's mouth, but I think his intent was to, at least if the governor is going to talk about hatcheries for the orca, at least we could do some homework on the deal up front so we could have some suggestions of our own and not just get handed something that probably wouldn't be all that fitting, because we have very qualified staff and we can see where we're going to get the biggest bang for the buck. And I think that was, there he is, not trying to put words in his mouth, but that would have been my read on his intention to get ahead of this. So if they come to us asking where would hatcheries be appropriate and where we get the best bang for a buck, I think that was how that was intended.
Thank you, Commissioner Holzbrother. I'll be real brief. I was asked to join a group of folks, the majority of which were task force members on the Southern Resident Killer Whale issue, and on there was Jock White, who's the executive director of Long Live the Kings, and he reached out to me to let me know that that the I don't know if they're new owners or continuing owners of the Rosario Resort up on Orcas Island, are very interested in putting a hatchery in there. They have a water supply that's very good. It would require some net pens, so I expect to hear more about that. But it would not be a huge contributor, but it could be a fairly significant contributor. So, anyway, next, any other comments?
This is Commissioner Baker.
Commissioner Baker.
I'm going to join the agreement here. I thought then and still believe that 5% is too low. I'm not sure how to actualize all this, and so my comment is really a question. If we're being requested or if it's being suggested that we have another meeting at the end of August to further refine this, would we then, and then you, Commissioner Carpenter, made the point that we really need to fold in these hatchery numbers, but that we were going to do that on September 7th. So are we talking about trying to get everything in front of us at the end of August, or would we still have the hatchery decision or conversation in early September.
Well, Commissioner Baker, I was asking the question. I didn't really know what the best protocol for that was. Perhaps if you know with your experience or Nate or anyone else, I would welcome your thoughts on that.
Mr. Vice Chair, what we were thinking about for the hatchery task was to bring that forward as a standalone operating budget proposal, and just making sure that folks were, you know, aware of the where we thought there was opportunity, the amount of money that it would take both on the operating side and the capital side to implement those proposals. Separately from that request, we're actively working through the Southern Resident Killer Whale Task Force to pull together estimates for increased hatchery production on stocker at prey of killer whales. And so I think the commission should also consider about waiting to see what those task force recommendations are that then are coming from the governor as the proposal, and letting the governor's office carry and try to advance that particular budget item versus from the commission. So that's just one strategy item I think that the commission should consider. But we could talk about all of these items at a call in late August. I think we'll be prepared to walk through McIsaac's request, as well as we could bring back some different alternatives for the recreational fee bill. I heard Commissioner Thorburn talk about kind of a blend of an across-the-board fee increase with the surcharge. We could talk more about the across-the-board fee increase. The other item I guess I'd want to put out there, and I'm happy to explore this with our licensing team, is we could also look at it perhaps a staggered approach, just throwing out numbers. But say, for instance, in the first year of the biennium, it goes up X percent. In the second year of the biennium, it goes up Y percent. And then, you know, the part of the bill would then have the commission have the authority to adjust for inflation going forward. So that would be a way to kind of ease in to the fee bill approach, so it's not quite as much of a single hit to the consumer in the first year. So we could explore all of those items, and we'll be prepared for to brief you on that in late August, if that's the direction you all would like.
Vice Chair?
Yes, Commissioner Thorburn.
I would really urge the commissioners to support what Nate just talked about, and that is that the any hatchery funding that was put forward with Commissioner McIsaac's motion be separated from our budget package and presented separately for exactly what Nate talked about. The governor has really taken hold of this issue. He's put forth this task force which is going to present to him the package, as Nate said. And you know, as we talked about with the conversation that Nate presented us with the governor's staff, you know, we're an executive department, and we really need to work with the governor and not like we're doing something contrary. So I think it's very important to have that as a separate package, saying this is, you know, our expertise based on what staff has given us would be a good part of the ORCA package, but not to put ourselves in a position where our budget is clashing with what the governor is doing. I would really urge that we move forward with this. Nate has said that staff could be tasked in the next week or so with coming up with different alternatives, and that we actually schedule a special call by the end of August to make a decision about a final decision about how the budget should go forward.
Thank you.
Commissioner Baker once again.
Commissioner Baker, please.
Thank you. I agree with everything that Kim just said. One thing that occurs to me, though, is that I've had calls, even though I've been pretty much completely unavailable the last week, I have had some calls from some people on both sides of this hatchery issue, not with whether it should happen or not, but whether it should come from us or come from the task force and how we're going to harmonize those two approaches. Just throwing this out, it seems to me that this might be important enough that we actually meet with the governor and talk to him about it. We haven't had a meeting this year. We haven't had one since early last year. And so I'd like to just throw out that that we request a meeting perhaps somewhere close around our next meeting here in Olympia.
Yeah, Commissioner Smith here, Larry. That's a good point. That's a good point. Tammy, can you follow up on that?
Yes.
Okay. Because and if I need to, I mean, I'm back next week too. So if I need to weigh in, just let me know too.
Mr. Vice Chair,
please go ahead.
Joe Spohr. I just want to make sure.
Good morning, Joe.
Good morning. Make sure that all the commissioners understand that we've got a number of staff that are working, feeding data and ideas into the task force too. So there's some sort of cross-fertilization going on there between what we're doing with Commissioner Force, but I think the point that Commissioner Thorburn was making about not doing something that's 180 degrees out of whack is what we want to avoid. So we're trying to build some bridges there too.
Okay, very good. Any other comment, or does that wrap up this discussion point? And we'll set a meeting in late August, or a conference call, excuse me. Okay, I just have one issue, and I don't know if this is the right time to raise it, but I'm going to do so. I would think that there's some real value, and I know that I believe, at least help me to understand, I think the legislature has to do this, but based on the dire situation we have with Chinook salmon, I would just throw out the consideration for a personalized license plate. I think you could raise more than just a fair amount of money by people that are very linked to the value and importance of Chinook salmon in their life. So any other comments or thoughts would be welcome.
Well, Larry, Brad again. Joe, could you follow up on that? I know that the process to do that is a rather arduous one to get a plate. But that could be something that I could raise at the task force, the whale task force, at the end of the month, too. Just what are your thoughts, Joe?
Well, it is an arduous process. You don't see the revenue return immediately. It takes some time for that to happen. I don't want to sound all negative, Commissioner Smith, but the market for those plates, I think, has flooded with a number of different types of plates, but we could really pull some ideas together for you so you could understand what it would take and what we went with the steelhead.
I think what would be good, what happened, I have a steelhead one, and I don't know how many, how much that has raised or how popular that's been. So maybe just a little, background on the success of some of those. I have an orca and a steelhead. I see the orcas around. I don't see the steelheads around.
I think we're making something around $200,000 to $250,000 a biennium off the steelhead plate. So it isn't a lot of money.
Okay.
Well, Joe, this is Larry. I mean, I just will add on to what Brad said. I'd like an honest evaluation. If it's helpful, and has a positive return, great. If it's a pain and not worth doing, just tell me that. I don't want to ride a dead horse,
Yeah, no, we'll look at it, Commissioner.
Okay. Any other comments?
Vice Chair.
Yes, go ahead, Jay.
I'm sorry, but I need to get going to an appointment that I have, but And not by any shape, matter, nor form is this criticism, because I think the people are well handling it. It's a wolf issue with the Togo Pact that's going on up in the Northeast. And there again, I think what's being done is proper, that we need to make certain that we're identifying and get the right wolf if we decide to move forward. The only thing of it is, and this is just kind of an FYI for my fellow commissioners, is we do have a date coming up very quickly that if something is done, then if something is not done by this point in time, and Steve, you can probably weigh in, I think it's the 28th or something like that of August, that a couple of the cattle depredations drop off the calendar. And no matter how good of intentions we have, if those drop off and we go back to zero, it's going to get ugly, guys. So I appreciate everybody taking their time and trying to do it properly, but the clock is ticking on this issue. Do you want to speak to that, Steve?
Thank you, Commissioner. So Holtmiller is speaking to the 10-month rolling window. And the four confirmed depredations in 10 months versus the 3 in 30 days. So currently within Togo Pack, depredation activity actually initiated in early November of 2017, on November the 2nd, and then again on November the 8th. So those two depredations, the 10-month window, closes on September 2nd and September the 8th. But I do want to make sure that we also recognize that with two confirmed depredations now during the month of August, we would move to the next suite of depredations that have been confirmed in that rolling window, beginning with a March 20th depredation, and then we would have two in August. And so we would not completely drop out of the ability to take lethal action. We would be looking at just a new series of depredations that occurred within a 10-month window.
Commissioner Carpenter?
Yeah, Commissioner Baker.
This is an absolute question. Reading some of the email that we've gotten, one of the points that was made surprised me, and I don't know if it's accurate, and so this is the question. It said that it's not fair for us to apply the depredations in the rolling window to a pack that had not been designated and that we didn't even know was there. And so I'd plan to follow up with Donnie or somebody about whether that was accurate. But Steve, do you happen to know that?
Yeah, so Commissioner Baker, and we also have this documented even on our website for general public information. And so what we have described is the history of not only the depredation activity, but of the known wolf presence in the territory, which was subsequently determined to have been occupied throughout late summer and fall of 2017. And so we have a very good narrative talking about confirmation of wolves in the territory, essentially north of Boulder Pass and south of the Canadian border, to the west of the wedge in the area that Togo is now occupying. And we have put that information out to the public, and the pack was subsequently named after the determination of occupied wolf presence by those individuals that were then identified to be in the area, at which point we simply provided a pack for that, provided a name for that pack.
Okay,
I would encourage you to take a look at the narrative on the website. I think it's been very helpful, and we've relied heavily on that narrative.
Mr. Vice Chair, I have a
Mr. Thorburn.
Just in response to Marvin's question and Steve's response, I'll add that this issue was discussed at the WAG as well in pretty great detail, not at the last meeting, but the meeting before. So naming of a PAC is actually a process, and that was laid out for the WAG in response to a question. So it's really, along with being on our website, been out there before the public. So that's the first thing I wanted to say. The second point that I wanted to make is also on wolves. Should have probably brought it up last week as we were looking at the year at a glance. But there is nothing in the year at a glance returning to a discussion that we did not get to, really, at our last meeting regarding wolves, our relationship and the direction that we're going to be providing for WAG. We need to keep this process moving, and I would ask that staff please take a look at the year at a glance soon and get an agenda item on where we can complete that discussion and start giving those sidebars to WAG that they've requested so that we don't have any delay in moving forward with the status of wolves in Washington. And then one other point I wanted to make is, should we schedule now, can we, the upcoming phone call for later in August?
You want to look into that, Tammy, and get back to us?
We could maybe do it right now. Nate, would the 27th be too early?
I think we could. We can make that work. That would give us, a couple, 3 weeks to get everything prepared for OFM if a decision was made that day. So that could work. We could also, would the 31st work? I think that's a Friday.
I was just looking at the calendars of the director and you, and it looks like you guys have some tribal meetings that week that may be a problem. So.
So that week as well.
So if the commissioners could look at their calendar for the 27th at say 8:30, and try to get it over with that day, it looks like it would work well for Nate and the director.
I can do that.
I can do the 27th as well.
Well, I could do that, but it is a week away, so.
Yeah.
Time flies.
Let's do it.
Okay.
Well, I don't know. Is it possible to get it done in a week, Nate? 10 days?
Not that this affects your all's world. I'm off next week, so we'll figure it out. We can have it done by August 27th, and we will have, I think, a good rough estimate for some of the hatchery numbers as well. So we'll just do our best and have it ready for the 27th.
Any objection from the commissioners to that date?
No, that's fine because the next whale task force is the 28th.
Yeah. Okay, let's book it, Tammy, huh?
Okie dokie.
Okay, any other points of discussion from anyone on the call?
It's time for lunch in Michigan here, so
Go have yourself some lutefisk or something, So, all right. If no further comments or discussion, I will move to adjourn the conference call of the Washington State Fish and Wildlife Commission at 9:41 a.m. on August 17, 2018, and wish everyone a very good weekend. Thank you.